Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Felitha Williams, your faith-based community nurse. We're in the trenches again talking about health and wellness. And I'm hoping and praying that you have remained safe, healthy, and blessed, that you're watching and being vigilant regarding your health care. I was just listening to the news this evening, and they're having the influx of flu and RSV because our season has begun. So hopefully you're taking care of yourself and doing all of those things that will keep you healthy. And so tonight, just wanted to, first of all, start with my scriptures. I had two, which I love. And the first one is in Proverbs 18:15. It says, "The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge." And my second one is Proverbs 1:7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instructions." And there is a famous quote that I really use a lot, and I like it, and it says, "Knowledge is power." And so tonight I wanted to talk about some general disease processes, and when looking at them, just want to discuss just a little bit. We're not going to get into detail. And the one thing that one reason I decided to do this is that lately I have been confronted with a lot of people that I know, family members that are have a lot of these problems, and you know, it's just important that we know about them, do our best to take care of ourselves, and you know, things will happen. There's some things that are passed by genetics, and we don't have control over those items being passed, but we do have control over maintaining our maintenance of those particular disease processes. You know, some things, I mean, we just can't help because, again, and sometimes as you get older, things happen. But we have to do our very best to maintain whatever's happened to us, so that we do all the right things to keep it at least maintained. So I was just looking, and because of all of the influx of different illnesses that we're experiencing, I wanted to deal with just the 10 top causes of death. Some of these things are so preventable. Some of these things we can do a whole lot better in maintaining. It's just a matter of buckling down and doing what we have to do. And I was really thinking about that because I have a nephew that's been in a nursing home since he was about 41. He is a paraplegic because he did not control his diabetes. And then on Thanksgiving, my sister talked to him that morning, and that evening he was in the ICU on the ventilator. And what had happened, they put him on dialysis prior to that. And, of course, you know, when you go on dialysis, you get a temporary port put in. And so apparently he had a kidney infection along with, they think, that port got infected too. Doing much better off the vent. He is now out of ICU in a regular hospital room. And so when I talked to my sister, you know, I was trying to, you know, you know, it is what it is. You are where you are now. And, yes, it is because you did not do the things that were important to maintain your health. But now that you're in this situation, you really have to deal with this. And, you know, when they got into the hospital, they only gave him a 40% chance of surviving. And he did pull through with prayer, you know, and the medical team. So just want to go over a few of these things that we see that are problems. First of all, according to WHO, which is the World Health Organization, in 2019, they listed the top 10 illnesses that cause death as ischemic heart disease, stroke, COPD, lower respiratory infection, neonatal conditions, trachea, bronchus, lung cancers, Alzheimer's diseases and other dementias, diabetes, diarrheal diseases, and kidney disease. And they stated at the global level, 7 of the 10 leading causes of death in 2019 were non-communicable diseases. This is not diseases that are transmitted, and that these 7 causes accounted like for 44% of all deaths, or 80% of the top 10, and that all the non-communicable diseases together accounted for 74% of deaths globally in 2019. And who stated, which is the World Health Organization, the biggest killer is ischemic heart disease, which is responsible for 16% of the world's total death. And that since 2000, that the largest increase in death has been for this disease, rising by more than 2 million to 8.9 million deaths. Strokes and chronic pulmonary disease, you may know it as COPD, they were the second and third leading cause of death according to the World Health Organization. The lower respiratory infections remain the world's most deadly communicable disease and is ranked as the fourth leading cause of death. In 2019, it claimed 2.6 million lives. So we see that neonatal conditions ranked fifth. And then death from non-communicable diseases was on the rise, like your trachea, bronchus, or lung cancer death, that they have risen from 1.2 million to 1.8 million, and they're ranked now number 6 among the leading causes of death. In 2019, the Alzheimer's disease and other forms of dementia ranked as the 7th leading cause of death. And it showed that women are disproportionately affected. Globally, 65% of deaths from Alzheimer's or other forms of dementia is women. They did say that one of the largest decline in the number of deaths is from the diarrhea diseases. They saw a significant decline in that. Diabetes has entered the top 10 causes of death, and that is following a significant percentage increase of 70% since 2000. It also indicated diabetes is also responsible for the largest rise in male death among the top 10, with 80% increase since 2000. Kidney diseases have risen from the world's 13th leading cause to the 10th placement. And the mortality has increased from 813,000 in 2000 to 1.3 million in 2019. So when you listen at this, and you look at this, a lot of these diseases are not communicable diseases, and they're just deal with other parts. So that's how we're looking globally. Then I wanted to take a look at, you know, what happens here within the United States. How are we faring? And so when I looked at the leading causes of death in the United States, of course, the number one disease for the United States that when we're talking about death is heart disease. And, of course, that coincides with WHO's ranking. And the problem is that as plaque develops and the arteries begin to narrow, and this makes it difficult for blood flow around the body. So it increases the risk of heart attacks or strokes. It can also, we don't, most people don't really realize this, but there are a lot of people that have angina, which is just chest pain without the heart attack, but of course can also affect having a heart attack. Arrhythmias, which means that in a lot of people may have heard about atrial fibrillation, or they call it AFib, where the heart works on electrical impulses, and that is where those impulses are not firing off like they should, and, of course, the heart doesn't beat regular. A lot of people refer to this as a regular heart rate, and also heart failure, and that is where the heart fails to pump blood efficiently so that it can oxygenate the body. And basically, to reduce the risk of dying from heart disease, you can protect your heart really by adopting a healthy diet, and also getting regular exercise. All the things that I have said in the past. So in the United States, CDC statistics was like 695,547 deaths, over 500,000 deaths with heart failure. I looked at the next one ranked in the United States, and it's cancer, which accounts for 605,213 deaths. And, of course, you know that was ranked a little lower with WHO. But, of course, you know, cancer does occur when cells do not die at the normal point in their life cycle. And so if a person's body can't control the spread of these cells, they can interfere with the essential life-sustaining systems and possibly lead to death. Now, according to the American Cancer Society, the the leading cause of death for cancer in men was lung and bronchus cancer. And if you don't know, bronchus cancer is actually one of cancer of the bronchial tube, which is part of the lung system. Prostate cancer, we have a lot of that. And, of course, the colorectal cancer. But when you look at in the female, same as the male as far as the number one, which is lung and bronchus cancer. And then, of course, breast cancer is next. And then, of course, as in with male, the third cancer is colorectal cancer. So you'll look at both of the male and the female. The second type of cancer is specific to the gender. Now, I think they're doing a lot better screening when it comes to breast cancer and to prostate cancer. But they still are, you know, one of the top causes of death. Of course, COVID-19, and we all know that. And of course, you know that with the COVID-19, we're not able to really contain it because the virus has gotten so sophisticated that it can mutate. I was talking to my nephew, who is a respiratory therapist, and he said that what they're seeing now, COVID is combining with flu and RSV. And so, you know, you got the tridemic. And, you know, and he does, he works with UAB in when they have to fly people out and they have to, the respiratory system has to be maintained. So, and again, of course, that's communicable, but again, it's still something that we can, you know, do our best to be more cognizant of and protect ourselves. Accidents, which are unintentional injuries, that can, for the United States, that was next. It counted for 224,935 deaths. And when you're talking about accidental or unintentional injuries, which are the fourth cause of leading, the fourth leading cause of death in the United States, you know, these are like accidents, and they determine that this figure is for ages 1 through 44. Is most, that's the high risk group when we're talking about unintentional injuries. Stroke is next, of course, with WHO, it was number two. But again, it's part of cardiovascular disease. And you know that we talked about strokes where there's an interruption of blood to the brain. So the blood vessels are really not supplying the brain the blood that it needs. We talked about, and we've already talked about, there's the stroke, the regular stroke, or cerebral vascular accident. We talked about the TIA, which we refer to as a mini stroke, and we talked about subarachnoid hemorrhaging, and we talked about vascular dementia, which is a type of stroke. So stroke is another one. Every year, more than 795,000 people in the United States have a stroke. And the risk of stroke varies by race, ethnicity, and age. The highest death rate from strokes they're seeing in the United States comes from the Southeast. What I am seeing is that with heart disease, including strokes, that it is the age that we're seeing it is really young, getting younger and younger. Okay, they can be in their 20s and, you know, having massive heart attacks or strokes. And we'll talk about a little bit more about that in a minute. The next one is chronic lower respiratory disease. It's a little lower than what globally. But we have to think about when we're talking about globally, you're talking about all the countries, and some of the countries are not as developed in terms of their health care as the United States. And that's why some of these are rated lower in the United States. So your chronic lower respiratory diseases, it was number four. Globally, but it's lower for the United States. And it can be any type of group of conditions that really block airflow and causes breathing-related issues. One of the main ones we see is the COPD. And, of course, that is one that involves the constriction of the airway and difficulty or discomfort in breathing. Then you have a lot of people, sometimes they don't have COPD, they have what they call bronchitis. And it can be acute or it can be chronic. And that just means that that the condition develops when the airway in the lungs and the bronchial tubes become inflamed. So the tubes, not actually lungs, but the tubes, you have two bronchial tubes that lead to the lungs, and they become inflamed. And sometimes, like I said, it can be just acute, and then sometimes people can have a chronic bronchitis, emphysema, and I'm sure you all have seen people that they have a hard time breathing. Sometimes their chest is barreled up. It is one of the diseases that is in the it comprises the COPD, which is chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. Emphysema develops over time, and where there's a gradual damage to the lung tissue, especially the destructions of the alveoli or the tiny air sac, and they're at the base of the lung, and the alveoli is where the exchange of air takes place, where oxygen goes in, carbon dioxide goes out. And then you have asthma, which is also, you know, that's a chronic lung disease, and that can affect anybody. One of my children had asthma as a child, and fortunately, the asthmatic episodes decrease, but he does have allergies, and that's basically what it is. It's called asthma is caused by inflammation and muscle tightness around the airway, and it makes it hard to breathe. And these symptoms can be mild or severe over time, and it's almost like people are smothering, and so you hear the wheezing. Because the air is not able to really go out. So when you're talking about COPD, you can have a combination of emphysema and asthma at the same time. It's just a combination of those diseases. If you smoke, and everybody knows that, it drastically increases a person's risk of developing these conditions. We did talk about Alzheimer's globally. Alzheimer's was number 7, according to WHO, which is the same as it is for us. So WHO and United States rank Alzheimer's disease as number 7, and we did talk about that last week. But they do show that it's an estimated 5.8 million people currently have Alzheimer's. And that's according to the Alzheimer's Association. And they expect that it may rise to 14 million by 2050. You know, as life expectancy continues to increase. And Alzheimer's is the only cause of death in the top 10 that medical experts cannot cure, they cannot prevent, and they can't slow it down. What they are doing now is, of course, there are a lot of research out, and I did talk to you about that. There is a lot of research out there that they think they're coming up with some answers. And remember last week I told you that, excuse me, one of the things they came up with is the fact that they do see a connection between Alzheimer's and heart disease. The other is diabetes. It was number 9 globally. A little higher with us. And of course, you know, diabetes is where the body's blood sugar is not maintained the way it should be. And of course, there's two types. And type 1 diabetes is that the body just does not produce insulin. And these people will always need supplemental insulin. I know one time they were talking about, you know, doing a pancreas transplant. I don't know what became of that. Type 2 is you make insulin, but you're not using it effectively. And, of course, with this one, it can be controlled with weight, diet, exercise. And we found out that diabetes causes serious health complications, including heart disease, blindness, kidney failure, and the need for amputation on lower extremities. And they have started doing that, but they're now advertising. They never advertise that, although we have been telling our patients that for years, that diabetes will put you in a 2 to 4 times higher risk for heart attack or a cardiovascular disease, regardless to whether you have any other issues. And that's why when anybody that has diabetes, we really monitor their blood pressure. And it may not be high, but because of the diabetes, they want it lower than what it should typically should be. We know about blindness. I've had a 30-year-old went blind with diabetes. I have my nephew that's in a nursing home was getting injections to save the sight in his right eye. I have a person in our church whose diabetes is now under control but has already affected his eyes. He can see, but he does still have some deficit, and he does require injections. And, of course, kidney failure, and you know that is being on dialysis. The other is chronic liver disease and cirrhosis. And when you're talking about chronic liver disease, it progresses in roughly 4 stages. First of all, a lot of you know hear about hepatitis. When we worked at the hospital, you know, we had to get the hepatitis vaccine, and it's the hepatitis B, and it's just the inflammation of your liver. And then, of course, the next stage is fibrosis, and that's where the tissue in your liver gradually stiffens due to the scarring that is taking place, and it keeps adding up. And then you go to cirrhosis, and cirrhosis is severe permanent scarring in your liver. And, of course, with that, you know, you build up a lot of fluid, especially around the abdomen. So sometimes they'll have to go in and pull that fluid off, and because the liver is not able to do what it should do as far as clearing the body of toxins. And the last thing is liver failure, and that's where liver can no longer function adequately to meet your body's needs, and this is called decompensated cirrhosis. We did have, and I think I've told you this before, we did have a young man that came in his 20s. He was a severe alcoholic, and by the time he got to us, he was already in liver failure, and of course he did not make it because it was too late for us to do anything. The other group has to do with the kidneys, and that's one is nephritis, and that's just where you get inflammation of the kidneys. Also is another one is nephrotic syndrome. And that's a kidney disorder that causes the body to excrete too much protein in the urine. And you see severe swelling, particularly around the eyes and in your ankles and feet. Urine may change its character. It may be foamy because of the protein. You can have weight gain because of the fluid retention. And then there's the nephrosis, which is a degenerative disease of the kidney tubule, the tubes of the kidneys, which are tiny canals that make up to the substance of the kidneys. Nephrosis can be caused by kidney disease, or it may be a complication of some other type of disorder. And it is number 10, and it stayed the same as well as with us at number 10. So we've looked at a lot of these diseases. They're non-communicable. The most of them are non-communicable diseases, and it just means that what you have to do is you have to really do those things that would help you maintain a good health, or at least maintain the disease process. The biggest thing with basically all of these is the way we treat our body in terms of our nutrition, in terms of our activity, in terms of the substance abuse. If you abuse substance such as drugs, you're going to have heart issues. You're going to have heart disease, because that is exactly what happens. And I can remember earlier in my career when I was doing home health, I had a young lady. She was in her 20s, and she had young kids, and she had a pacemaker and a defibrillator, which is unusual for that. But she was a drug user. Drugs affect the heart. And so a lot of times when people come in and with heart issues, and you do a history, and it's not everybody, but quite a few of them, you're going to find out that at some point in life, maybe not now, but at some point in life, that they did use drugs. So the best thing we can do for ourselves is to take care of our body. And I think education is key. We, you know, I know people are tired of hearing that, but when you keep seeing a lot of, you know, either preventable or maintenance type of diseases and conditions continue, then you have to keep, I say, not more or less just reminding people, listen, this is what you've got to do to take care of yourself. Because it's becoming more and more prevalent. And what I am seeing, because people are not taking care of themselves, more and more young people are now not able to work because they are really, they are disabled to the point that they can't hold a job, and or they can work, but they can't work like they used to. The young man in our church that had open heart surgery, he can go to work, but he's so worn out after he comes from work, because number one, he's recuperating from the surgery that he had, but number two, he's put back on more weight. So I was talking to him Sunday, and he was, you know, just like, he can hardly breathe. And I said, look, you've got to get rid of that weight. You've got, your lungs do not have anywhere to expand because of the weight, the abdominal weight. And then on top of that, you just had, about 6 or 7 months ago, you had open heart surgery. So a lot of times we go through things and we decide we're all going to take care of what we need to do. And then we go back and repeat the same thing again. And, of course, it gets us into the situations all over again. And sometimes that can even be more devastating than it was before. So I just want to remind you to take care of yourself. Do those things which are better you. It's not hard. And I'm not saying that sometimes you can't, you know, eat some things that maybe are not the best for you. But for the most part, what you have to learn to do is to eat more healthy, you know, and it and doesn't take a whole lot to do that. You just have to in order for us to maintain our health in a more positive way. If you look at medical care now, they're being overwhelmed. They're being overwhelmed because a lot of times people don't take care of themselves. You should know your body. Just like we were in at church Sunday, and to me, it was cool in there. Now, it may have been comfortable for other people, but my body knows, look, it is too, it is just cool in here. And so by the time I got home that evening, I went with the youth. We had, it was youth Sunday, so they had an outing at the aquatic center from 2:30 to 5:30. And so I was a chaperone. And then when I got home, it's like my neck was really hurting. Well, I know I've got degenerative changes in my C-spine from an accident. And when I get too cold, that's what happens, because that part is not really protected. So I came home and I did what I need to do. I got some heat. I have topicals, because right now I'm not. Every now and then I might take a Tylenol, or I might take a Tylenol and a Aleve, but I very seldom do that. I don't want my body to get used to that. I want to do those things that I know will work without having to always take medicine. And so a lot of times, if you know your body and you know what you need to do to take care of it, you need to do that. And that's going to conclude me for tonight. I hope you all stay blessed, healthy, and safe, and we'll talk to you again in another week.
Are you or a loved one struggling with addiction? There's hope for a brighter future at Twin Lakes Recovery Center. We understand the importance of addressing trauma, and our trauma-informed approach is at the core of our care. Family involvement is important, and we provide education and groups to heal the entire family. We also offer an alumni program to maintain connections and support when you leave treatment. Recovery is within reach. Let Twin Lakes support you along this path. Same day to next day admission, 7 days a week. Visit TwinLakesOfGeorgia.com today.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.